Lucifer was created with the organ built into him. He had pipes that come out of him. And he was talking about the tambourines that was built into Lucifer. Lucifer was in Eden. Eden there translates to the presence of God. And see, because of the sin, because of the iniquities that was found in Lucifer, he was kicked out of God's presence. Do you know where Lucifer's seat was? It was around the fiery stones of God's throne. So he was that close to God's presence. And because of the iniquity, now iniquity is sin that is in the mind. Covetousness, jealousy, envy, those kinds of things. They're in the mind, and it's a sin, it's iniquity, and it's in the mind. So if I stole your wallet, you could see that. But iniquity, it's in the mind. So only you know about it until the light reveals it. So I just want to encourage you tonight, today, search yourself, look in the mirror, and make sure you don't have iniquity in yourself. Because you might not even realize it. You might not realize that you're coveting your neighbor's stuff in your mind. Or that you have jealousy in your mind. You're jealous over a certain thing until it comes to light. So search yourself and truly worship God.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Amen. I want to thank you, men, for your words today because, boy, they laid a great foundation for where we're at, who we are. Amen. Redeeming the time, circumcising ourselves. This is what we've been through. And this is what we're doing, and this is what we need to continue to do, because I want you to know that one thing that happened when I was really stepping into ministry is that, you know, Pastor Dosick, he was sitting there talking to a group of these really profound men that travel and preach and have good, holy, clean lives. And one thing they said is they said, purity equals power. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. That's not just when you get to heaven. That's not just once you die, without the blood of Jesus will you not go to heaven. But that means right now in this earth, if we're going to see miracles, if we're going to see God turn things around, we better have purity in our life. So that means that you can't be in here raising your hands, crying and saying, woe is me, oh God, look how humble I am. And then out here, you're cussing like a sailor. You're throwing stuff. You're getting mad. You're in division and strife with people. You got bitterness and hatred in your heart. You cannot touch God with that kind of mess going on. Now, the Lord loves you, and he desires to hear your prayers more than anything. He desires to meet your need more than anything. But you got to live right for him to be able to come in the midst of who you are. And so I just want to put that out there for just a minute. And then what I'm going to do is I am going to remind you that last week we were preaching and I was getting so excited and we were talking about what's going on in our city, which is wonderful. Our city used to be called Little Chicago because our stats matched up with Chicago. For our size and for who we were, obviously we don't have nearly the number of people in that Chicago does, but our little city had percentages of violence and percentages, like if violent crime or violent beating of children and wives was 13% in Chicago, it was 13% here. Now all those things are changing so much that I'm telling you that even our mayor said, this city needs revival. But as a city, we had to change a lot in order for someone in a sitting office of authority to be able to speak that this city needs revival. There's been things that we have shredded. You can go back and look in our history. There was 39 bars just in the circumference of this little city street up here. There were so many calls to the emergency room with people, teeth knocked out, eyes broke, stitched up, hitched up, all kinds of stuff was going on. And people were getting hurt at home. I tell you what, when I first came to Kenton, God would have me ride these streets and I'd just start weeping because I could go down certain roads and just see people, men, beating on their wives and children, throwing things, cussing, fussing. Now, I wasn't in their home, but I could just see it. And then I would find out that statistically what I was seeing in the spirit was true. But we've changed a lot. We've come a long way. We're ready for revival. And I'm going to go in here and preach real quick on what I left open last week, being ordained. Because you guys said this crazy wild man stood us all up and ordained us, and we have no idea what that means. Well, I'm going to help you. Because you did not get the ordination that Philip and Jared did. They got what's called a pastoral ordination by the presbytery or the leadership of a church, our apostle and us as pastors and other people that have held them accountable and watched their life, and they have met criteria of what allows them now to be certified to do weddings and funerals. Boy, I might want to take a few funerals off. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding you. But they can do that kind of stuff now because they're going to have credentials that match that. Hello? You did not get ordained to do weddings. In order to get ordained, you not only have to have us support you, but then we have to turn it in, and it has to go through a process, and then the state returns us a thing with a number that says, hey, Pastor Philip has this number, and it stays with me throughout my whole time as a pastor, and that's why I can sign off on your certificates for marriage and make them legal. Now, none of you got that. But you did get the ordination that belongs to you as a believer. And we're going to go through that in just a few minutes. But before I get there, I want to tell you something. That before we came to this city, we would come, Pastor Regina and I, and we would meet up here at the old TV station, and we'd be in that little square place praying with some people like Randy Manns and like Deanna and Ronnie Rages and people like that in this place that we would pray with. And I'm telling you, God would bring forth prophecies, revelations all the time. Things would happen. And when I first came to this city, I saw a vision, and I mentioned this to you last week, but I didn't go to it in detail, but I saw a vision of devils and demons locked arm in arm over this city. And when I first saw the vision, buddy, they were big, strong, and powerful. They were like giants. And after months and months and months of us praying and coming and doing all kinds of stuff, and I got stories to tell out of this, I'll tell you later. But after months and months, I saw them again, and they were looking weak and skinny, almost like skeletal, and they looked like those Stretch Armstrong dolls. Do you remember how you could take Stretch Armstrong and stretch him out? And they were stretched out, and I said, Lord, what is this? He said, keep praying, keep seeking me, keep fasting. You're breaking their authority. And one day, I saw those wimpy little devils that started off as giants get so skinny and scrawny and so emancipated that all of a sudden their arms pop like little Stretch Armstrong dolls. They just pop. And they were sitting there armless and broken, and they left the city.